As I said, we currently have 16 judges. We're hoping to get a 17th within the next year of active judges. But we also have 9 judges who have taken senior status but still participate in deciding cases. So that's a total of 25 judges. So if you can do the math of 3-judge panels, that's more than 8 3-judge panels. People ask us, how much help do the 9 senior judges actually give to the Fifth Circuit? And my answer would be a lot. And if you looked at the statistics, about 24% of the opinions and cases that were decided on the merits in our court were authored by a senior judge. So they certainly do a lot of the work of the court, and we would be in a very hard place without their willing help. And they don't have to work if they don't want to, but they, once they take senior status, but they all have, and we're very grateful for that. The most recent information I have about the number of opinions that active judges have authored from the Fifth Circuit is kind of dated. It's from the Fifth Circuit's annual report for the 12 months ended in June 30, 2018. We only do the annual report once. Obviously, we're about to have one come out, but we're not there yet. But based on that period of time, the number of opinions per active judge was 139. But if you consider the motions, the petitions for rehearing en banc, and then the judges' opinions, we're on 3-judge panels, so we look at two more times that number of other judges' opinions. The overall workload, according to the AO, that's at the national level, of an active judge on our circuit was 1,800 matters per active judge. So we are a high-volume court by any measure. The rest of the information I have statistics-wise, covers a 12-month period from April 1 of 2018 to the end of March 2018. That's the most recent statistics that we have. And based on that data, people ask, well, is the number of cases up or down? Well, based on that data, we're only slightly up by 62 cases over the same period of time a year ago. We had 7,289 cases filed in 2019 compared to 7,217 in 2018. Now, that sounds like a lot of cases, and it is, but just like we're not unique in this regard, most circuits, a large number of cases are disposed of, terminated, not on the merits before they ever see a judge. And that's true in the Fifth Circuit. About 3,000 of the 7,000-odd cases were terminated on procedural grounds. And that means about 41% of the cases that were filed were not decided on the merits. And the court staff terminated those cases, about 75% of them. So a judge was involved in only about 25% of those procedural terminations. How many of those 7,289 appeals do you think were pro se filings? A lot. More than 3,000 of them were pro se filings. So, how many cases did we actually decide on the merits? 4,081, to be precise. And of those cases that were decided on the merits, the 4,000 plus, over that 12-month period, about 20% were decided after argument. So we heard 816 cases during that 12-month period. The other 80% of the cases decided on the merits were decided solely on the briefs. So, given the numbers, a little more than 3,000 cases were decided without argument. And people are thinking, well, that's a lot of cases. Well, how many might be criminal cases, do you think? And the answer is quite a bit. More than one-third, like 1,000, almost 400, of the cases that were decided without argument on the merits were criminal cases. And generally speaking, those cases involve issues that are not hard. They're settled issues. I see every week at least one, if not more, an appeal where a defendant was sentenced within the sentencing guidelines and he or she contends that the sentence was unreasonable. So these are not, they don't take a lot of legal research to decide the disposition of that case, but we still get those cases. More than half of the 816 cases that we argued were private civil cases. Where do the cases come from? Spread across Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi, you might want to know. If you said Texas, of course, you would be correct. But where in Texas do our cases mostly come from? And the winner for the time frame that we're looking at was the Northern District of Texas, followed closely by the Southern District of Texas. Of the more than 7,500 cases that were filed with us, about 1,500 came from the Northern District, and about 1,400 came from the Southern District. About 1,000 came from the Western District. So of all that, how much of our docket is criminal? And when I say criminal, I'm including direct criminal appeals from federal district courts, as well as state habeas proceedings from Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. About two-thirds of the filings in our court are criminal. Not everybody realizes that, but we do have a very heavy criminal docket. What about diversity jurisdiction and other, for example, federal question jurisdiction? About 5% of our docket is based on diversity jurisdiction. I think that's down as historically, not recent history, but looking back over time, I think that's down. One reason I'm guessing we haven't done the stats on it is if we get a case and the law is unsettled in Texas, Louisiana, or Mississippi, each of those jurisdictions, their Supreme Court is amenable to having us certify the question, and we do. We don't want litigants to try to forum shop, as you were, and try to get a different answer in our court than they might get from the Supreme Court of the state. So if it's a question that the law is not settled and we don't want to make the eerie guess, which we typically don't want to on these issues like this, we certify.